Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome and thanks for listening. This segment of the show is brought to you by Olive Crest and features Larry Bell. Larry is a developer of some very interesting leading edge financial tools. I've known him to be an innovator for many, many years, and Larry's an attorney. He has more initials after his name than in his name, so you know he knows what he's talking about. Larry, welcome to the show.
Bill, thank you very much for inviting me. I look forward to our conversations today.
Well, me too, because we've been talking about quite a few different very innovative tools that you've developed. But before we get into any of those, let's talk about you a little bit, Larry. Tell our audience a little bit about your professional and personal background.
I'm a native-born Washingtonian, and by that I mean Washington, D.C. I've been in private practice for over 25 years. Along the way, I received my master's degree in taxation, and I was appointed to the Forum for the Ethical Practice of Tax Administration, representing the state of Maryland. Throughout my legal career, I'm 11-0 for wins for taxpayers in representation matters. I have received currently a number of business method patents that address underfunded pensions, OPEB liabilities, deferred compensation, and disability benefits. I've also spoken and written nationally on these subject matters over the years. This is what keeps me busy, and I look forward to getting into some of these tools with you today.
Well, on behalf of taxpayers everywhere, thank you for all the fights and all the wins. I'm sure there were some very important issues involved in each of those. So, Larry, let me read off something. After your name, Lawrence L. Bell, you're a JD. That's an attorney, right?
Yes.
LTM, what is that designated?
That's actually a master's degree in taxation. That is not lettuce, tomato, and mayonnaise. That was the designation that Georgetown University provided in 1978 and 1979.
Okay. You're a CLU, which means you have utmost experience in working with insurance-related type of matters and solving problems that they address. CHFC, which is Chartered Financial Consultant. CFP, which is Certified Financial Planner. And AEP. Tell us what AEP means.
That's an accredited estate planner. Over my career, I worked both in the individual situation for families. I then worked with planning with large, closely held businesses, and then also dealt with international and national businesses. So all of those accreditations were a result of the work that I had done, and I then pivoted and was able to receive those designations.
And I've known you for probably 20-plus years, it seems like now. But tell us what are you doing? What do you do now?
I problem solve. I take my successes and my experiences, sometimes you call them mistakes, and I have been able to build up an orientation with a multidisciplinary approach so that we go into a client situation, we listen to what their needs are, we work with them on their goals, and we assist them together with their other trusted advisors, their attorneys, their accountants, their financial planners, their bankers, insurance professionals, and we assist in the implementation of their program.
As I understand it, you have a number of patents on these programs. Why did you take your problem-solving skills and obtain patents on the programs?
I wanted to have the solutions that I had developed be able to be identified with me, because there are so many other people out there that try to take bits and pieces of good ideas and then bend them to their needs. I wanted to make sure that the process was protected. So by going through the patenting process, which started to be available for solutions in 1998 with the State Street Bank case, and so that we have received actual business method patents for many of the solutions and planning steps that we take.
So you put a lot of thought and effort into developing these solutions and these programs, and you just want to make sure that nobody else is going to come along and tweak it and get it wrong. Is that right?
That's correct.
So what specifically do your tools accomplish, Larry?
Well, our tools can be used in the planning process both for families and companies, and we look at business succession issues. We address buy-sell arrangements. We also get involved with deferred compensation using these tools. And then in a family situation, they assist in the intergenerational transfer of wealth. We're always mindful and have steps in our process so that the asset protection devices are implemented and safeguarding what we've all worked so hard to do. And mindful of this, we're providing these in the most economically efficient way, utilizing actuarial methodologies that have been time-tested and recognized by all of the regulatory agencies.
Now, I know that a lot of these issues that you're addressing, business succession and deferred compensation, intergenerational transfers of wealth and asset protection, there are solutions that are out there now, and they're all key issues for business owners that at least I talk to. So I'm very interested in hearing what twists you have and what ways that you've developed that take care of these things, because there's up to now, it's always been you had to give up something to get a solution. You never found that perfect type of a solution. So before we get into that, are there any kinds of entities that your methods don't apply to?
This was one of the largest problems we had to get our arms around, because generally speaking, with pass-through entities, with partnerships, LLCs, LLPs, you're limited as to the benefits that you can provide. We worked with a team of actuaries and came up with an approach utilizing the present value of the benefits provided over the working life of the employees, brought back in a discount rate to a present value, so that we actually can provide these benefit arrangements, reaching these goals for any type of organization, whether it's for-profit, non-profit, pass-through, regional, national, or actually we are working with international companies, because we comply with, on the regulatory basis, FASB, the Financial Accounting Standards Board, also GASB, Government Accounting Standards Boards, and lastly, the IASB, International Accounting Standards Board.
Well, the first part of that little segment was a mouthful there, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are just taking for granted that you're a brilliant guy and you've put it all together correctly so that you could use that. But what I think I heard you say there was, it doesn't matter if you're an S corporation, an LLC, an LLP, these solutions that we're going to talk about will work for all of those entities.
Yes.
Okay. And so do they work for all types of employers? What types of employers do you work with typically?
Hopefully profitable employers. Having said that, the for-profit arena, non-profit, all of those can use these tools. This is not a one-size-fits-all, however. We work with the existing advisors to make sure that we are reaching the goals that they want, and we in turn then can also work not just on the employer side, but we can also work with multi-employer plans such as Taft-Hartley plans, union plans, and to that end also with associations and nonprofits, we're also assisting state and local governments that have huge issues that they're trying to assist with their underfunded pensions and OPEB liabilities.
What are the typical steps that you take to assess needs and implement your programs?
It is a collaborative and consultative approach. We sit down, work with the clients and the existing advisors. We determine, working with them, what their goals are. We then look at what the most economically efficient way to help them reach that goal. Two of the most important issues along the way is control and flexibility. With all arrangements, we will always have a plan B so that as some facts change, we can then modify the funding vehicle or the benefit arrangement still in compliance with all regulatory agencies.
So you, first of all, obviously, we all take a look at what are the real needs here, what are the stumbling blocks, what are the entity's goals, and then working with you work with the trusted advisors that represent the firms that you work with as well, I take it.
Absolutely. We're looking to reduce the economic drag of onerous taxes. We're also looking at reducing the transfer costs and then also obtaining guarantees along the way. Nobody likes surprises, so we work with the team to make sure that every step along the way we have flexibility and the employer, the client, has control.
Well, very good stuff. We're talking with Larry Bell. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some specific uses of some of the solutions that Larry has put together. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Welcome back, friends. Just a reminder that we've interviewed dozens of advisors on a wide variety of topics, and you will find all of their interviews and highlights online at ExitCoachRadio.com or on iTunes at iTunes.ExitCoachRadio.com. I'm talking with Larry Bell, and before the break, we talked about some of the many ways that Larry has developed that are unique solutions to very interesting and difficult financial problems. And Larry, we were talking a little earlier, and you told me that there's yet another problem that you've figured out a great solution to, and that is when someone is saving for their retirement and they suddenly become disabled or unable to work, of course, their contributions might stop, but you've come up with a solution for that, and I'm very interested in hearing about that. So tell us a little bit about that.
Thank you, Bill. There's a growing area in planning dealing with employer contribution, employee contribution, qualified plans. Where you're working for a for-profit company, it's a 401k, and if you're involved in a nonprofit, it may be a 403b. Those are arcane sections of the Internal Revenue Code, but they explain situations where the employee does a salary reduction for his retirement benefit, and then there is an employer match. Well, that's great, and there is a huge need for this. However, if an employee becomes disabled and is no longer able to work, then they are no longer permitted to make an employee contribution into the plan, and the employer then cannot make a match. Bill, what really brought us to using this tool is the statistical analysis by experts that an employee has a 1 in 7.7% chance of dying while they're working, but they've got a 1 in 4 chance of becoming disabled. Most people have life insurance. It's a good thing for the family. Under this approach, it's a greater likelihood that you're going to become disabled, then you're going to die. So why don't we have that kind of coverage also?
And I can testify to that. In 30 years of working with individuals, planning for death is relatively easy. Planning for disability is a little bit harder, and it's also a much scarier type of a situation because you don't know how long it's going to last. So it's a great benefit.
So we have developed and received a patent on a program so that there is a disability policy that will replace what had been an employee funding and employer funding, so that should an employee become disabled, not be able to work, then there will be this program available so that when they reach age, retirement age, generally age 65, 67, then that money that otherwise would have built up in their qualified plan will be available in the most economically tax-effective way.
That's very interesting. Now, normally, of course, we think of a disability insurance, and a lot of people may or may not be aware of it, but they have usually some kind of a state disability plan that would pay them a replacement of a portion of their income, and then they may have an employer-based program that will replace a greater part of their income if they become disabled for a certain period of time. But what you're talking about is a plan that specifically contributes on their behalf to the retirement plan, as if they were contributing? Is that what we're talking about?
It actually works better than that, because those monies are not going to be put into that particular employer's 401k. It rather will be a disability-type policy that will be building up money annually, and it in effect will be matching what otherwise would have been paid. When the plan sponsor makes the elections to do this, they can elect either to have the employee pay tax on that amount of premium, which average is about $200 per year of a premium, so that means the employee may be paying a tax of about $30 to $40, a relatively insignificant amount. By doing that, the benefit is available upon reaching the retirement age, totally tax-free, so that this becomes even more powerful where a disabled person has not had the high income years that they otherwise may have.
Okay, so I get it. So this is a separate policy outside of the plan itself. And of course, the downside is if it were inside the plan, then all the distributions would become taxable to the individual as they receive them, if the funding were going into the plan. So this all happens outside of the plan as kind of a substitute, a fallback position, if you will. If you become disabled, this plan kicks in at your prescribed retirement age, as you said.
You're exactly right.
Wow.
And this gives control and flexibility so that it gives more independence to a plan participant if they are no longer able to participate in the program.
Is the decision to start this type of a program at the employer level, or does each employee elect? How does this take place?
Because of the adverse selection rules, it has to be done at the employer or plan sponsor level. However, it can be shown that there is a substantial savings so that an employee that is interested in pursuing this could talk to the employer, because the average employee contribution in 401ks is about $1,700 a year, and the average employer contribution is $1,000 a year. So this could make a substantial savings both at the employee level and at the employer level.
Now, Larry, how big of a company is this appropriate for? How many employees would they have to have in the plan to get this type of coverage?
To get the marginal cost savings, it has been determined that we have to deal with groups of employees of 100 or more, so that if there were a couple of employers that had 50 employees each, they could come together and they would still qualify. But generally speaking, rule of thumb is 100 employees or more.
So they could, smaller companies could come together into some kind of an association type of an arrangement?
That is correct. And okay. Also, and I'm glad you picked up on that, Bill, because this is also available not just at a employer plan sponsor silo type approach. It's also available through trade associations, so that if people are involved in trade associations or other forms of employee organizations, unions and the like, that could be picked up at the union level, and it could actually be not just an employer cost, it could be a plan cost, thereby spreading the cost amongst all of the members and diluting the per head cost for the participants.
And of course, all associations and all employers are looking for ways to be of additional benefit for their employees. So this really provides peace of mind in a concern where, you know, what? Okay, if I make it to retirement age, great. If I become disabled or sick, I get off track for a couple of years, it could really throw everything out the window that I've planned for. So what a tremendous benefit. How do people find out more about this, Larry?
Bill, we're always happy to answer any questions either by calling us at 240-604-6945, or you can email me at larrybell@theuniquesolution.com.
Larry, as always, another terrific idea for our listeners, and I hope they'll take advantage and give you a call. Thanks very much for joining us again today. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Bill. See you soon.
All right, I've been talking with Larry Bell, and we're going to take a short break, so please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the show for age 50-plus business owners. We're interviewing over 250 professional advisors for their tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new 20-minute interviews and 1-minute highlights every day at ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.